Hey, welcome back to You Killed It. I'm Ryan Kane.
And I'm Jordan Strickland.
And we're going to be talking about the Real World Road Rules Challenge.
As always.
This was the episode we've all been waiting for.
The CT. The return of CT.
We finally got CT.
And the powerhouse in finger quotes, Tina. Or wait. Tina.
Man, like, why Tina? I guess we'll get into it a little bit deeper later in the episode, but powerhouse, really?
I finally know who she is. Like, I recognized her when they finally, like, showed her and everything. I never once thought of her as a good competitor or a powerhouse in her previous seasons.
Yeah, it's, I mean, she was okay, but she, like, why not Evelyn?
Yeah.
What was Evelyn up to?
Yeah, what could be more important to Evelyn?
Seriously. What, does she have an actual day job or some shit? Come on, Evelyn.
I doubt it.
The challenge is your day job.
Yeah.
You got to be constant. You got to be on. You're on call for the rest of your life, Evelyn.
She should be. And they probably would have paid her like 20 grand or something.
I'm sure that that they got an okay amount of money for that.
And a free trip to Prague.
Yeah, seriously.
You know what? It's snowing here right now. It snowed for the first time yesterday, and it fucking sucks, you know? I used to like it when I was little, but all the time in California, it has done me in. This absolutely sucks ass.
Damn, so it's like laying down and everything? It's sticking to the ground?
Yep, it's sticking. It's stuck.
Damn, how many inches?
Not too, well, just enough to cover the grass. Like, you can't see the grass anymore. And the roads were bad yesterday, and I was trying to do fishtails in my car, which is the one good thing about the winter, but it's front wheel drive, so I couldn't do any fishtails. It was bullfuck.
Damn, man.
Just getting shit on all over the place this week.
For a second, it looked like we may have had an interview with Cara Maria.
Yeah.
What happened there, Jordan?
Well, it was basically the exact same situation as last season with Jillian and Carly. Which, the situation was I messaged them on Facebook, and they both agreed to it. And then they decided, after we had, like, picked a time and everything, then they dropped the ball that, oh, I deleted Skype. I don't use Skype anymore. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who deletes Skype, first of all? And why, like, I put the word Skype all over the first goddamn message. And, you know, here we are, no interview. And she said that with Cara Maria, she said, also Jillian said she would download it too. I was like, finally, I would just had to be like, you know what? You're going to have to download it. Could you please download it? Blah, blah, blah. Never heard back. So that's the end of that chapter.
What the hell is wrong with these people, Jordan?
I don't know.
Don't they realize that appearing on our podcast will, I don't know.
And you know what? If I would have asked her a day earlier, well, we still wouldn't have had it because she didn't have Skype. But she was like, Abe just left. You could have had Abe and me on there. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, I bet. Damn. If we had gotten them both, like, talking about it, perhaps, you know, it would have been more of a thing for them to do. It would have seemed more appealing to them, but...
Well, she was she remembered who I was from stalking her at her job, and she was willing, except for the fact that she didn't have Skype, which I thought everybody had at this point. Maybe I need to not ask girls anymore, because as we know from being guys, girls are much more flaky than guys are. Like, if I feel like if Abe made the commitment to do a Skype interview with us, he would be at his computer 15 minutes before the time, getting stuff ready, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Getting ready to pitch his book.
Yeah. He could do a live read on our podcast. I don't care. It'd probably take 8 seconds for him to get through that book.
Yeah, I have a feeling the book is probably more about the pictures than the text. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so maybe it wouldn't translate as well. But, you know, still, he could do whatever he wanted. He could describe the pictures to us.
Yep.
We would act very impressed.
Mm-hmm. One thing, I still don't, like, you probably hate Cara Maria again now, But I still don't hate her. And like one thing I'll say to you that I think you'll agree with is if you were working at a job and she was one of your coworkers, like say she's at working at the Arclight or something, you wouldn't hate her. She seems like a nice enough girl.
I agree.
She's weird.
I agree 100%.
Yeah, she is a nice enough girl. So still don't hate you, Cara Maria, but would like an interview, you know? Download that Skype.
I don't hate her either. And like I actually re-listened to the podcast where we tried to do the interview with her the first time. And if anyone enjoys this podcast but hasn't listened to that episode, I think it might be episode 4. It's a pretty funny little adventure that me and Jordan go on.
Yeah, it's funny because, well, it's, I don't want to analyze our own episode, but it's funny because we're like it starts off with us being super disappointed because I realized that I hadn't gotten anything. And then we play the interview with us all excited before we actually went up to her, even though, you know, it was like going back in time.
Yeah, the episode starts with us disappointed and drunk.
Mm-hmm. At like 4 in the morning.
Yeah. So yeah, check it out. It's a great one.
Yep. Maybe there'll be more to come.
Anyway, into the challenge?
I suppose so.
Alrighty.
Sarah and Laurel gang up on Cara Maria. That's how it starts, as per usual. But I wanted to know what your thoughts on it are. Like, do you think they're going extra hard on Cara Maria, or do you think it's warranted?
I think that they're being hard on Cara Maria. I mean, you know, we saw, like, in Fresh Meat that she seems like a pretty strong girl. She placed fairly well on that, on, like, the, I forget what you would call it, but like the qualifying round.
Not fairly well. She was first. She was above Laurel.
There you go. So like, I mean, let's not pretend like she's not athletic.
Yeah.
There's
a reason she came back from the gulags they sent her into.
Like, you know, it's like everyone needs someone to like to be against. Mm-hmm. You know, and Laurel and Sarah just have clicked very well and are resenting Cara Maria for whatever reason.
Maybe because they want some Abe.
Maybe. But, like, fact of the matter is, I mean, Laurel, I think, is a good competitor, and I think she has proven herself. But what the fuck has Sarah done this season?
Yeah, Sarah hasn't really done a whole lot. And also, you would think that she would bond more with Cara Maria because they're both kind of freaky-looking chicks, you know?
Yeah, and freaky-looking chicks have to stick together.
Yeah, that's what happens where I come from. I don't know about this challenge bullshit.
But, yeah, like, I mean, fact of the matter is Laurel and Sarah have performed very well in previous challenges, so now they feel like they're hot shit. But as I said, you know, Sarah really hasn't done anything worth talking about in this season. Like,
and
think
up
about
until this episode, Laurel really hadn't either.
I mean, Laurel, like,
she didn't
Laurel
do anything bad.
Sarah,
but
Laurel and Sarah both performed very well in that swimming challenge. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like they both kind of kicked ass there. But other than that, like, I don't know. It's all been very tame and not too impressive. But that's kind of the entire team. The entire team. It's not that the gray team is great. It's that all of the other teams are totally dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that's my take on the Sarah, Cara Maria, Laurel situation.
And I can kind of understand Sarah's thing. Like she wants the strongest players and the least amount of players. Like I think for her, maybe it's not even that she thinks Cara Maria is going to drag him down. It's just she wants to have a bigger slice of the pie at the end if they win, which
yeah,
is kind of what she was
saying. Like if she remembers back, the season where she did very well, it was just her and Kellyanne, and the fact that it was just two people to a team is what ended up fucking them in the end, because like the other team, like kind of picked up a lot of time during this puzzle, if I remember correctly, where they had Although it also had to do with that balance beam.
I think it was all about that balance beam. Like, just think, if they had more people and still had Kellyanne, they would have been even in worse shape.
That's true. That is true.
So it was Kellyanne.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right, good times. You know what I noticed? Abe's tattoo on his left arm is that a tattoo or is that magic marker? Because it is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I think it's just marker.
Yeah, but it's been there the whole season.
True, but I mean, it's not like you can't just keep coloring it back in, you know what I mean?
I would like to know if this is a tattoo, because it is god-awful. I'm going to have to, like, I'm not a big art fan or tattoo fan, but it looks like a five-year-old put it on there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been staring at that thing the whole season, and at first you kind of don't really get a good look at it, and you kind of just think he has a sleeve of tattoos. But the more I look at it, I think he just drew on himself, dude.
Well, if you remember, Abe is also the same guy that has, I remember from the Real World or the Road Rules season, he has like three scars on his chest that were like cosmetically put in, like as like you would get a tattoo. He got burned on his chest three times for scars. So, you know, he doesn't have the greatest judgment when it comes to, like, his skin.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a different guy now. He's writing children's books. He recognizes that he has to... He can't be as balls to the wall anymore. So now instead of, like, burning metal into his skin, he just, you know, he gets that Crayola washable marker and is like, you know, this way I can wash it off before I go to my book reading at the Nook at Barnes & Noble.
Fair enough, if it is not a tattoo, that is. Well, then Brad and Tori had the bitch fight, which was Brad just, he's losing his marbles, it seemed like.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where Tori certainly doesn't help Brad stay sane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brad seems to really recognize that, like, the challenge isn't his whole life, so he has to try to keep things civil between he and Tori. But, like, I mean, she truly does seem to want it to be her way or the highway in these challenges, and that sort of seems to send Brad over the edge.
I liked his line when he said, "I've been playing this game with my balls in her purse the whole time."
Yeah, but at the same time, her strategy in this one seems to be protect Brad. And I mean, you can't completely fault her for that, but at the same time, I don't know, I think Brad is... truthfully, I don't think that either of them are the best players when it comes to strategy.
That's true, but one thing I kind of respected her for was her towards the end of the episode thinking about possibly throwing the gulag to get herself out of there because she knows she's not a runner because she doesn't want to which is kind of not well, it's like you have two lives in the challenge since they're on the same team together, like as in like a video game. Like, she can throw herself out, she's still got a life left, she could still come home with a lot of money even though she threw it.
Yeah, it seems like the reason that she's there is so her and Brad don't have to spend a month apart. And like, mm-hmm. And then she knows, like, you know, I'm not necessarily, I could be a hindrance to them in the final. So, like, I'll hang out until the end and then I'll just take off right before the final. That way, you know, they're lean and mean and ready to compete. And, you know, I mean, I can dig that. Yeah, if that's what works for them, it works for me. Because, you know, God knows I always want to see Tori go home.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what would have happened if they were on different teams. Like, would there be bigger fights between them? I think she probably would have went home a long time ago if they were on different teams.
I don't know, man. She usually has some staying power in these games. But as I said from the beginning, I'd always wanted to see them on separate teams. Because it seems like it would be better for the relationship, you know, whereas when they're on the same team, they're constantly fighting about what the good strategy is in their team. But if they're on separate teams, you know, that would never come into play. They would never have to argue about what they're going to do in certain situations because they're not, you know, playing the game together.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think
I'm very tired, so I don't know if what I'm saying is...
Well, I had drifted off, but I'm just going to go ahead and say yeah.
Fair enough.
Should we get into this week's group challenge?
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, I forget what it's called, but I just wrote down ball carrier. Is that what it was called?
It was called high ball.
Okay, same thing. It was basically you had to balance this ball on this giant metal martini glass kind of thing and carry it all the way up the hill without the ball falling off. And they had an hour and a half to see how many balls they could get into the basket at the top of the hill. And it looked pretty hard. Well, obviously it was hard because Laurel and Abe were the only ones that figured out how to do it.
Yeah, I think Derek and Johnny got one ball to the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, every team was just doing shitty.
Surprise, surprise, Red gets none.
Yeah.
And Abe and Laurel just... one thing I like about Laurel, it's probably the one and only thing I like about Laurel, is she is such a competitive person that she cannot bring herself to not compete. Like, it's not... in her blood. She cannot do it. Like, she was thinking about throwing the challenge right up until while they were in the challenge, and then she's just like, fuck it. And then they just they killed it.
Yeah. It was like, we're here to win. Let's do this thing.
Yep.
My favorite line there was from Sarah, where she was like, once I saw that Laurel was going for it, I decided to go for it too. But it's not like it mattered.
Yeah.
Sarah didn't get any balls up that hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like every other player in that game was totally worthless.
Mm-hmm. It all came down to just keeping the thing steady. Like once you had, I don't know.
Yeah, and like the fact that some people were like watching the ground and trying to keep the thing steady. Mm-hmm. No, keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah,
that goes for every single sport that you're in. Keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, because if it's coming off your side, you're going to have to be ready in a split second to lift it up so it goes back towards the other side. And, you know, you have to look at
the
ball.
Yeah, like, at one point,
Dummy
the
Bear
red team
didn't
was,
get that.
At one point, the red team was getting pretty close to the top, and I think it was Dunbar and Tyler. But Tyler was watching the ground, and the ball just slipped right off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you know if you're letting your side slip if you're not watching?
Yeah.
These people are idiots, Jordan.
Yep. Well, that's why they're on the challenge.
That's true.
So anyway, Gray wins. How many is this in a row for the Gray? It's like four in a row.
Yeah, they like in terms of the amount of money banked, Gray has $80,000 compared to Blue and Red, who have $40,000 each. So
yeah, so they
Gray
won
team
double.
Has destroyed them, man.
Yeah,
and it's weird how their team. Yeah, that's go Gray.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what was weird? After they win, you see them at the dinner table, and they're all kind of sitting and chewing in silence and not really talking to each other. And Sarah talks about how the team doesn't really get along. But it just seems like Sarah and Laurel have made themselves like...
isolated themselves?
Yeah, isolated.
Yeah,
themselves.
Like they seemed to be getting along until just last week.
Yeah, but now like Sarah and Laurel are against. Although I guess you could say it's because they voted Laurel in, and mm-hmm. like they're resentful of the fact that they was like, you know, I don't care if Laurel's a better competitor. I'm
get my gear wet.
Yeah, seriously. So I could see how that could make things uncomfortable, but still, I mean, like, Luke, Cara Maria, and Abe still all get along.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think for the sake of the game, you'd try to keep things civil, but I guess when so much money's involved, it gets really personal, so.
I suppose so. I just keep asking myself, how the hell is Teresa still in this thing? Like,
I know,
I want
seriously.
To, I hate her. I hate her voice. She's got that bad Midwest voice. She's cocky. She thinks she's hotter than she is. She's got everything I hate in a woman.
And, like, not to jump ahead, but, you know, spoiler, she beats Tina.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only going to make things worse because they call Tina a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
And then she's beaten by Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Tina sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was
you're not worth a damn, Teresa, just because you beat Tina.
Mm-hmm. Clearly Tina sucks, or Teresa wouldn't have beat her, because Teresa's the bottom of the barrel as far as you go with challenge girls. Well, I wouldn't call her that. She's somewhere on the lower middle of the road.
She's a middle of the road player, or she was a middle of the road player when she was on the challenges, but that was a long fucking time ago, people, and Tina's getting old.
Yep.
You know, I'm sure she's not training like... I don't think she ever really trained for the challenges. When she was doing well in the challenges, that's back in the days when the challenges were ice cream eating contests. Mm-hmm. You know, the challenges changed. Tina is not a heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm.
She would not survive. It would be like when Veronica decided to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the times have changed. It's a new game.
I think next season they should have the challenge all stars, which wouldn't make any sense because they're all stars technically. But you know, you got to get Mark Long back on there, or get everybody on who's been on the most.
That would be cool.
You get Evan and Kenny and Wes and everybody.
Yeah, bring back some old favorites.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's a good old favorite? It's like I can never remember these people's names at all.
Well, The Miz was an old favorite,
yeah.
But he's not coming back.
WWE star The Miz.
Yeah, that dude just won a belt or some shit. He's not coming back to reality TV anytime soon.
The last thing I remember about him on these challenges was he lost a challenge for his team because he couldn't climb a rope. Like, he's this giant, huge guy, but he couldn't support his own body weight with his... with his arms.
Well, I guess that wouldn't surprise me that he couldn't climb a rope.
Why?
Just because
he should be doing pull-ups all day long.
I guess he's more of a bench press guy.
Apparently.
But yeah, just because he just seems too heavy. And not like fat, but just like thick, full of muscle.
Evan could have climbed that thing.
You're right. You know, you're right. What the fuck, Miz? Get up that rope.
I like how you completely change your tune in the half a second.
Well, because you're absolutely right. Like, and I can even remember, like, when Miz, there was this one challenge that Miz and Landon were on together, and they seemed to be, like, a very similar build in that season, and Landon just smoked Miz up this rope. And Miz looked like a fool.
I think it probably comes down to, like, Landon is an athlete and the Miz is just a bodybuilder, maybe.
That's a really good point, yeah.
Yeah. So the shock the nation later in the episode when Johnny decided to throw himself in and do the honorable thing. I thought it would never happen, but good for him.
I know. And I'm sure he felt like a fool the second he saw CT rolling. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
I bet he almost started to cry. He was like, what have I done?
I loved their faces.
I made it so far.
When they saw that it was CT, like, just imagine if you had to go up against CT, and we don't even know how big he is in real life. But I am, like, I got to imagine he's a scary guy.
Yeah. He looks to be over... I think he'd probably be taller than me, so that's like over 6'2".
Yeah, I would say he'd go about, if I had to guess, probably 6'3 or 4, 230 pounds maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Jesus Christ, when he walked in, he looked all business.
Mm-hmm.
Goddamn, I was so excited when when they walked into the gulag.
I was excited, but I was also a little disappointed because I was curious who was going to win between Johnny and Tyler because they had that history.
I agree. I was thinking that exact same thing. I would really like to see it play out between the two of them.
And also, I wrote down Johnny was going to destroy Tyler, but then I was like, wait a second. Tyler is he's actually a lot bigger than he seems, which doesn't really make any sense, but you don't really think about him as a big guy. But he is, you know what I mean? I don't know.
No, you're right. Like, I always thought of Tyler as being sort of like a skinny kind of weak guy, but
yeah.
he That doesn't seem to be the case. He seems to have hit the gym pretty hard.
Yeah.
He's just lean, Jordan.
Yeah. And the gulag was another repeat, but it was my favorite one from this season. It's the backup off me, where they're tied back to back. And
and what a good one to bring CT into. I'm sure they planned that. It's like, okay, let's strap them to this monster and see how it plays out.
Yeah, and I like the if you didn't see the episode, it was a to be continued, which I was like, what the fuck?
But, I know. I like when it went to be continued, I was like, fuck.
That was exactly my reaction. And I was pissed, but I was wondering what this. Do you remember what the soundbite was? Like, somebody was screaming, like, oh my God, or something like that, like in genuine terror, like somebody was getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
There's blood everywhere.
His arm is off.
Somebody stop him. You wouldn't put that kind of, like, he could kill, CT could kill somebody.
Yeah.
He could, he lifts him up and he, like, stands straight up with them on his back and is, like, running around and then just.
Yeah, if CT leans forward a little bit, it's not like they could touch the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And just think, if he'll walk over to the barrel, do a quick spin, and use the other person to knock the barrel over.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're walking in, Tori looks just defeated from the moment you see them.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because I would have thought Tori would have been stronger than Tina, but Tori just, it seems like she hasn't been training at all for any of the things that that they've been doing the whole season.
I don't think she has a workout in her for this entire season. I don't think she's hit the gym once or ran once.
It's crazy. Like, it seems like none of the gray team works out or Tori, but like all of the blue team were out there working out.
Mm-hmm. They say Paula is really in really good shape. She wants to win it.
Yeah. You see Brad working out.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume Dunbar's out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, you really don't see the gray team trying to stay fit, which worries me, Jordan.
You know, maybe they aren't marathon runners. What if that's their downfall?
They meaning
the gray team? Yeah, like, what if they win every challenge, but they just don't have the endurance at the end to do the final?
That's true. That is a concern.
Like, I really don't see Cara Maria as being. Maybe Laurel and Sarah have a point, but I don't see her being I don't see her being the type of chick that would run on the treadmill every day. Let's just put it that way.
I don't know. I could see her as maybe being like into cardio at the gym. You know?
Didn't I? I feel like I saw a preview of her like just about dying of exhaustion. But was that on a previous episode, or am I thinking that was? I don't remember.
I don't know. Hard to say.
All right. Well, we'll see. Time will tell.
But one thing that's interesting to me that I hadn't realized until the second time watching this episode is that TJ says whoever does the best against the heavy hitters. Originally, I thought, like, I was like, oh, shit, Tyler and Johnny are both going home. But
yeah, so they can only. If they both lose, which they probably will, it's whoever loses with the slowest time. So since Teresa won, Tori has to beat Tina in a faster time than Teresa to be able to stay in.
I don't know. I kind of wish that you had to beat them to stay in.
Yeah.
I think it would have been cool to see two people go home in this episode, mm-hmm. or potentially three.
Yeah, but what if it cut down their episodes though? Like, you know, because they're just out of players or something. Maybe that's why they didn't do it. But
yeah, that's very true.
I was just gonna say something about CT, but I can't remember what.
All right. Well, the fact that we get a to be continued. How do you see it playing out?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, CT is obviously a lot bigger than Johnny and Tyler, but if they can get low and, like, I don't know. I really don't see them winning, but it's really anybody's game. Like, I think Tori will probably go home. I don't think she's going to beat Tina faster than Teresa, at least. And with the guys, I'm not sure. I really don't know who's going to win, because just if they were saying that Tyler is a lot bigger than Johnny, just weight wise, so he might have a big advantage on this thing, because CT could just, like, do the crab crawl thing and get Johnny up on his back without too much trouble if Johnny's a little guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And, like, I mean, clearly I think that CT will beat them both. But, you know, they put a lot of emphasis on how much Tyler had been eating this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, like, just now, like, when you were saying that stuff, realizing that maybe they were talking about that so much because Tyler does outweigh Johnny, which means, like, Tyler will be heavier for CT to, like, kind of throw around.
Maybe
Johnny's gone home, man.
It could be. And that would devastate the blue team.
Yeah, seriously. It would be three women and Derek.
You know what I like about this? Is our predictions were right. They were a gulag. They weren't joining any teams. How do you like that? We were better than Wikipedia.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wikipedia had, we don't know whose teams they're going to be joining until just this episode, and we called it from the beginning, or you did. I don't remember. Did you come up with that, or did I?
It was the podcast.
All right, the podcast wins.
Yeah. although, another thing I want to mention is, I'm thinking about, like, those early this season on the challenge where it showed CT and it showed him, like, standing and just dragging someone across that gulag. Do you remember that one?
I don't think I saw it.
Like, he's up on his feet and he's just screaming, like, come on, come on. And
he's probably gonna win then.
Yeah. He's not going to have any trouble getting those guys over to his barrel.
I win every fight.
Oh my God.
Even his voice is terrifying.
I'm so happy that we finally made it to this episode.
Mm-hmm. And now we have to wait another week to see the payoff.
Yeah. Damn you, MTV. I hope they aren't in it for just these two episodes. I hope they kind of keep making appearances throughout the rest of the season. Like,
well, after next episode, we only have one episode, according to Johnny, right? Remember last?
Possibly.
Yeah, well, that's what someone said something about two challenges on the last episode.
Right, right. But I wonder, do they mean just two challenges or two challenges and then the final?
I'm thinking two and then the final.
Okay.
So there would be one more. Yeah, because next week is not the final, so it's got to be next week, and then the week after that will be the final.
I would love to see them go through the whole final, and then the last challenge in the final is having to get through CT to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And he just grabs one of them and walks them back to the start line.
One thing I just thought of, Tyler was saying, I have no strategic advantage in having Johnny go first. But there is, because it's going to tire, like, even if it barely tires CT out, it's going to, having yourself go second, it's
yeah, exactly.
It's a huge strategic advantage. So
CT could pull a hammy.
Yeah. What happens then?
Although I have a feeling that's not going to happen.
Yeah, probably.
But you're right. There is absolutely an advantage of going second.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else challenge-wise?
Not really, but I did get back into Survivor this week.
Yeah, I caught it this week too.
Last week they had that bullshit, like, behind the scenes, semi behind the scenes episode, which is what caught me back up on it, because I just watched that instead of the ones that I missed. So now I'm back. And this week, the fucking idiots.
What the hell was wrong with those two girls?
That bitch, Purple Kelly, who's done nothing this season, who I thought was probably going to end up winning because the people who do nothing always win. Her and Nayanka both quit on the same episode when they had a 1-in-8 chance of winning $1 million, and they had a week and a half left out there and they couldn't fucking hang. Can you believe that?
Yeah, seriously. It was like, what, 11 days left?
Yeah.
Oh my God. But at the same time, if I was out on that island, I would have been doing everything in my power to get them to quit. But
me
being
too.
Like, yeah, you know what?
I can't
You're doing the right
that,
thing.
Like everybody else was, besides Fabio, all of the rest of them were like, oh, and Benry wanted him to go home too, but all the rest of them were like, you can't go home. This would mean to, like, talking to them like they're people. You got to play the game 24 hours a day. You got to get
seriously
off,
like,
there. You got to be talking about how much it sucks and stuff and how much, oh, you miss your family, don't you? And, like, you know, you got to pile it on.
The one woman being like, you know, when my daughters wanted to quit cross country and then they went on to win the championship and... Shut the fuck up! you are now like that much closer to $1 million yourself.
Yeah,
let them go.
Yeah, let
tell them
go.
About tell them about how warm their bed is going to be when they quit.
Also, this is just, Survivor. I don't want anybody on my island that even thinks about quitting when they have a 1-in-8 chance of. You know, I don't care if you're dying, and they weren't dying; they were just tired and cold. And they quit. And Jeff Probst was pissed. I liked his... He seemed very pissed to me. Especially when he was, like, putting out their torches and stuff. Like, he was just like, get out of here.
Yeah, like, when Nayanka suggested that they just snuff out the torches, I was like, fuck you. I'm letting these torches sit here and get rained on.
Yeah.
These...
I would have broken the torch in half or something.
And then just thrown it into the fire. Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Nayanka.
And, like, not only that, I wouldn't want them to be on the jury.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be able to be on the jury.
No, they shouldn't. And one thing I liked once they decide, like, Jeff kind of, like, took some digs at Nayanka. Like, he's like, do you actually think you had a chance of winning on here? Like, seriously, did you think you had a chance? I like that kind of thing.
And Nayanka, by the way, probably one of the most unlikable characters to ever be on Survivor.
She is a supreme selfish narcissist who has no empathy for anybody else. Like the one, like the biggest thing that showed her character was at the very end when they won the reward, and she didn't, even though she knew she was going home, she went ahead and took that reward instead of you know, she's going to be able to eat candy bars that night, but she takes the reward so that instead of, like, saying, no, I'll take the tarp and give you guys some rice before I go, you know, go out on good terms. Nope. And then she had no remorse over it either.
Seriously, man. Like, just her talking, like, talking about how she represents women and all that shit. It's like,
I'm so proud of myself for getting as far as I did. You're a quitter.
Yeah, you're a quitter, and you've played the game, like, terribly.
Also, Probst, like, he, like, emphasized the word quitter more than a couple times to drive it home that they were failures and quitters.
And you know what? Like, I bet Purple Kelly wouldn't have quit if someone else hadn't done it first.
Yeah.
Like, she just seems to be just, like, a follower in that game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I would have liked to see Nayanka get voted off just because of how pissed she would have been.
Yeah.
But I'm glad she's gone, so I don't have... I wonder if she took Judd's socks with her that she stole in the first episode.
Yeah, real. Oh, God, I hate that woman.
Fucking bitch. And could you... I couldn't figure out why... Alina on the jury was crying when they were quitting.
Because, like...
Was she just thinking, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you took my $1 million away and now you're just quitting? Or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like, these people are the reason that I am no longer sitting around that fire
mm-hmm.
with a chance to win $1 million, and now they're just walking away. They're walking away, like, 6 days later.
Brenda was pissed, too. Like, she was like, this is disgusting. I should watch those, I bet the Ponderosa videos from last night are interesting with them going back to the camp.
Yeah, I bet you're right. I should check those out as soon as we're done here.
I was just watching the first episode of Celebrity Rehab, too. Do you watch those?
I have them on my DVR, but I haven't seen them yet.
Okay. I saw, like, the first half of the first episode. It seems like it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Got Leif Garrett on there. Got Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts. I've never been a big fan of Eric Roberts.
He looks like an a-hole to me, and I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah, he kind of... I have heard some stories that he is a bit of an ass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we've heard the same stories.
Probably. You know, who do you think we should try to get as a guest on this show? You know, Derek does his own podcast, right? I haven't listened to it. Have you?
I've listened to an episode or two, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we could get Derek, because he's our... Maybe we could do, like, I don't know. You know, you'd think he'd be open to it, at least. He's got his own podcast, or else maybe he'd be like, fuck no, I don't want to take any listeners away from mine. But maybe I should try to get a hold of him.
That's a good idea, you know, cross-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we could do a joint episode together.
Yeah,
you know,
that would be cool.
To be honest, I really don't know that he would have... I would say he probably has double our listeners at the most, but who the hell wants to listen to a podcast about the challenge? You know what I mean? I like
as we're making a podcast about the challenge.
I'm just saying,
hopefully someone wants to listen to it.
I'm just saying it's a very small market to be making a podcast out of. I don't think his numbers are that much better than ours. I would be surprised if it was a hell of a lot better.
They probably have an okay amount of listeners, but, like, to be honest, I was listening to one episode, and he has Kenny on as a co-host a lot of the time, it seems. But, like, it seemed like just this season they were celebrating how they're getting on iTunes and how big of a deal that was. It's like, why weren't you on iTunes from episode one?
Yeah.
What kind of low-rent bullshit are you operating there?
We were on iTunes from episode one.
Seriously. And, like, I kind of can't really figure out what it is. It seems like someone may have come to him with the idea of being on the on a podcast.
Does he have a good
hosting?
Is it good? Do they have, like, I don't know what they talk about.
It can be good. It has been good, but they seem to repeat themselves an awful lot. Like, it seems like they kind of tell the same story over and over again.
Do they talk about bootleg porn tapes like we do?
No, they don't really talk about bootleg porn too much.
Well, that's why they...
There's a fair amount of dirt dished on... Like, I hate to
we don't want to promote
someone
them.
Else's podcast, but although we are trying to get them on here, so we have to do some kind of promotion. I'd say give it a listen. I think you'd like it.
All right.
One thing that's really weird, though, is a lot of their episodes... one person will be talking in one, like, channel of audio, and another person will be talking in another. So you'll have one voice in one ear and another voice in another ear.
Have you noticed that that's how this records? You must switch it back to mono, don't you?
Yeah,
I listened to one of them, and I was like, God, this is distracting. Like, you have headphones on. If it's one's in one ear, one's in the other, it's very distracting.
Yeah. Not only is it really distracting, but, like, if you're ever in a position where you can only have one earbud in, mm-hmm. like, when I'm at work, I only keep one in, or if I'm, like driving, sometimes I'll have an earbud in.
It's fucking amateur hour over on the Derek. What's that? What's their podcast called, anyway?
The Derek, whatever his last name is, podcast.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yeah.
That's Bush League.
I hate to talk shit about.
Do they have intro music?
Kind of, but not. I think our intro music is better, actually.
Thank you.
But they have the last few episodes have been kind of mixed better, and it seems to be improving with every episode.
All right,
and like they do have like some cool guests on, and they've had Mark Long on before, and they've talked about some of the past challenges.
All right, that's enough. Let's not pile it on.
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, let's get Derek on. Derek's a cool guy.
Derek, yeah, I could go with Derek being on here. You know, Mr. Beautiful would be quite the get if we got Mr. Beautiful on here.
Yeah, imagine if we got both of them.
Fucking A. I would cream in my pants.
It's a cream dream.
Yeah. All right, anything else to talk about? Any other crappy shows that you've been watching?
No, nothing that I can really think of.
All right. Well, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I had to work the night before, so when I went over to eat at my friend's house, I ended up falling asleep and slept on the floor for about 3 hours while everyone else celebrated.
You know, that is exactly your style. Haven't you done that on more than one occasion?
Yeah, but, yeah.
Have you seen any other D-list comedians come into your job?
Chris Kattan comes in a lot.
Really nice.
I've seen...
You know, he would be exactly the... Like, I would call him a D-list comedian. He would be who I would put on top of the D-list comedian list.
Well, that's why... I guess that's why he sprung to mind so quickly.
Who else did you say? Gene Simmons?
No, James Marsden.
Oh, all right.
Cyclops.
Nice.
Yeah. I see people every once in a while. I've seen Doug Benson a ton. Like, he's come in like 3 or 4 times.
You should bring a small audio recorder to get... off-the-cuff bad interviews about, like, just ask... Well, I guess that would be unprofessional.
Yeah, like, I'll like you said, like, just kind of...
What do you think about Cara Maria? What? That was Chris Kattan.
All right, we have an interview with Doug Benson. So, how's it going? Okay. All right, good. Good to see you. Have a good day.
You know, that'd be just enough to drive our numbers up through the roof, I think.
Yeah, we...
And I'm completely serious.
We claim to be interviewing James Marsden, and it's just me ringing him up.
Yeah, like the half of our interview with Cara Maria, my recorder was in my pocket inside of my hoodie. Like, if you just had your recorder running as you're ringing him up. Oh, Malamars, huh? You like those?
Would you like matches? All right.
Take it easy.
That was James Marsden.
All right. Well, I think that about does it until next week. What do you say?
Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up.
Sweet. And thanks to our new listeners, I've been getting some people adding me to my personal Facebook, which is fine if you'd like to do that. I always get confused though. I'm like, what is going on? Who the hell is this person? And then they're like, oh, I listen to your podcast, and I'm like, oh yeah, I have a podcast. And keep posting on our wall and stuff. Oh yeah, the Jer, is it Jer or Jer Shields that posted all the nudie videos on our page?
It seems like Jer, as in like short for Jeremy.
Yeah, that's what
I
was thinking too. So thanks a lot for that, guy. We appreciate
it.
Yeah,
that was nice to see.
Mm-hmm. There was only one with any like nipples, which was Paula's, unfortunately. But you know, we'll take what we can get.
I also liked the Carly Evelyn in the shower one.
Yeah. We got some nice butt shots and some side boob.
Yeah.
And they had
so
already,
thanks a lot, Jer.
They had cleaned off their like mayonnaise and peanut butter, so it was past the disgusting point.
Yeah, thankfully. Mm-hmm. So you know, keep sending those emails. If you find any more videos, post them on our Facebook page.
Yep, and search for the You Killed It podcast. on Facebook or just in Google and it'll come up, the Facebook page. Or you could just search it for in Google and you'll find the iTunes link, the Blogspot link, the Facebook link, and so on. So just do that.
Yeah, and feel free to review us on iTunes. We really appreciate that.
And I made a crappy picture on our Facebook of us, in case you're wondering what we look like.
Really?
Yeah, you did.
I haven't seen that one yet. I'll have to check that out.
It's like the one and only picture of us that I have sitting at the bar, and we're both making kind of weird faces. And I wrote, "You killed it," in Microsoft Paint in the middle of us.
Sounds great.
Yep. All right, so I'm Jordan Strickland.
And I'm Ryan Kane.
And this has been You Killed It, and we'll catch you next week.
Have a good one.
Adios.